many people labor under the misapprehension that there was not much spiritual activity taking place before the Reformation. From the time of the apostles, true Christianity died out and you didn't have any true Christians, and then suddenly in the Reformation there was a resurgence. That's not so. The Lord's always had a 7,000 have never bowed the knee to Baal. And so we wanted to look at some of the great pre-reformers. The Waldensians, the Lollards, the Hussites. There were many dedicated Christians who were standing firm, even though the established church was corrupt, even though the situation on the horizon of established religion was beyond superstition and corruption and wickedness. Yet there were these pockets, these little groups of pre-reformers who were standing for faithful Christian values from the beginning. And the first one I want to look at is the Waldensians. These were firm and faithful Alpine fighters for the faith. Peter Waldo was a wealthy merchant, well-respected, a man of influence, and a man in the community of Lyon in France. One evening, while entertaining friends at his home, one of them suffered a sudden seizure and died. And this incident so shook Waldo that he began to seriously think of his soul and of eternity beyond the grave. He began to regularly attend church services, but he wasn't satisfied with the superficial rituals in Latin. And he employed two priests to come to his house to translate the Gospels into French. And Waldo was most excited as he read and he meditated on, he carefully studied the words of Christ. Yet instead of comfort and peace, he found conviction and challenge. He saw himself as the foolish rich man who was laying up treasure on earth but was spiritually poor towards God. And again he read the words of Christ, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For the abundance of man's life consists not in the things which he possesses." So he determined to obey the command of Christ to the rich man, recorded in Mark 10:22. "If you wish to be perfect, sell what you have and come and follow me." This Peter Waldo saw as the gospel resolution to his personal crisis. He determined to follow the example of Christ literally. He gave everything of his possessions to the poor in his community as restitution for his former poor business practices. He denied himself, he followed Christ as a poor man. As Waldo's friends and family and neighbors thought him insane, he replied to them in these words, "My friends and fellow citizens, I am not out of my mind, as some of you think. I have avenged myself on these my enemies, who kept me in such slavery that I cared more for money than for God, and served more willingly the creature than the Creator." And after Waldo had finished distributing all of his property and his possessions, he found many of the poor standing by his side, not content with mere existence, but desiring to live as true Christians, even as Waldo was demonstrating and was proclaiming. After receiving a call from the Pope's representative to clarify his position and his intentions of this new movement, Waldo declared, "We have decided to live by the words of the Gospel, especially that of the Sermon on the Mount and of the commandments. That is to live in poverty, without concern for tomorrow. But we hold also that those who continue to live their lives in the world doing good will be saved." Waldo did not intend to separate from the Catholic Church, but rather to work for its reformation from within. It was also not his intention to start a new church. From the beginning, the Waldensians described themselves only as the poor. They made vows of poverty, and that in the Middle Ages was not unusual. There were many monastic movements which had done this, like the Franciscans, those who followed Francis of Assisi. However, Waldo remained a layman, and his followers didn't call themselves brothers or monks. They were just co-members of a society, so they continued to be laymen, and they continued to be business people, often itinerant merchants, in fact. They took the terms from the business world and avoided describing themselves in religious terms. They weren't a religious order. They were a society of laymen concerned for the gospel. They wanted only to be a group of lay people who are working together for the living and the preaching of the gospel. Their purpose was to live the Christian faith according to the teachings of Jesus Christ as found in the gospels. For this purpose, they emphasized the importance of hearing and understanding the word of God, the Bible. It was from the scriptures that men and women could know Christ as the focus of their faith. They chose to live in voluntary poverty and they sought to be faithful in proclaiming the gospel in public. Now, of course, this naturally started to greatly offend the religious leaders of their time, and it brought the wrath of the Catholic Church upon them. The Archbishop of Lyon attempted to stop Waldo from preaching, and public preaching, according to the Catholic theologians, was reserved for the clergy alone. According to Catholic belief and practice at that time, only the priests could preach, and Waldo, the merchant not being ordained, had no right to preach. This Waldo challenged in these words, "Who are the real successors to the apostles? Not necessarily those who are ordained, but rather those who respond to the Lord's call and live as the apostles did of old. What makes one a true heir of the apostles is not ecclesiastical ordination, but faithfulness to the word of God. The authority to preach God's word does not come through any church organization, it comes through Christ himself." So Waldo asserted that God's word and the Spirit do surely act within the church, but they're not solely administered by it. As a result, Waldo was severely threatened by the Archbishop of Lyon, and the Archbishop ordered him to cease his preaching. To this, Waldo responded, "It is better to obey God rather than man." And for this bold defiance, quoting the words of the Apostle Peter in Acts 4:19, his followers began to call him Peter Waldo. So he wasn't christened Peter, it is a name that his followers gave him later in life. The Archbishop excommunicated Waldo and had him banished from the city. With great zeal, Peter Waldo and his followers scattered the gospel seed throughout northern Italy, southern France, Switzerland, Austria, and Germany. The Council of Verona proclaimed fearsome anathemas upon the poor men of Lyons, who presumed to preach the gospel without ordination, who dared to translate the scriptures from Latin into the vernacular. As a result, the Waldensians were hunted down by agents of the Inquisition. Many thousands were imprisoned, tortured, and put to death. At first, the Waldensians were pacifists. They rejected any form of violence, even in self-defense. They also refused to take oaths. However, in time, later generations of Waldensians grew to be resourceful soldiers, tenacious fighters, and innovative military strategists, defeating the Catholic armies and securing religious freedom for the beleaguered families in the Alps of the Piedmont. And in fact, some of them came in the glorious return. They swept down from the mountains where they had been in retreat, and they came and they brought judgment upon those who had slaughtered their parents and their grandparents. And there were some great military battles fought by later Waldensians in the time of Oliver Cromwell. Some of the Waldensians' precepts for living in the world included, number one, we must, if possible, live at peace with all men. Number two, we must shun evil company. Three, we must not avenge ourselves. Four, we must not love the world. Five, we must love our enemies. Six, we must possess or control our souls in patience. Seven, we must not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Marriage and, of course, in business too. Some of the Waldensian precepts for personal holiness included, one, we shall not serve the lust of the flesh. Two, we shall govern or control worldly thoughts. Three, we shall mortify our members, meaning put our body under control. We will subject our body and discipline our bodies. Four, we shall shun idleness. Five, we shall practice works of mercy. Six, we shall live in faith and morality. Seven, we shall fight against lusts. Eight, we shall speak to one another of the will of God. Nine, we shall diligently examine our consciences. And ten, we shall purify, improve, and compose the spirit and the mind. Despite centuries of relentless and vicious persecution and harsh oppression, the Waldensians not only managed to survive, but to expand, always attracting new members and managing to proclaim the gospel in new areas. Peter Waldo grasped the great Reformation principles of the supreme authority of Scripture, salvation by the grace of God through faith. He lifted up the principle that Christ's law must be supreme. He recognized that churches had become unfaithful to God's law and to the gospel of Christ. And in their worldly quest for temporal or political riches and power, the church had long since abandoned the humility of Christ and the poverty of the apostles. By compromising with the world, it had lost its spiritual power. And there was the term told right then that the priest today cannot say, as Peter and John said of old, silver and gold have I none, but neither can it say, rise up and walk. And that was the problem. They had gained all the riches and all the power of the world, but they had lost the spiritual power and heart of the faith. The Waldensians did not seek to be separatists. They were trying to purify the church from within. They weren't trying to just go off and live a holy life on the mountain. They were trying to see all of society transformed. That's why I call them pre-reformers. From the very beginning of this movement, the Waldensians have always been known as distributors of the scripture and Christian literature. Even before the invention of the printing press, just handwritten scriptures on a little piece of paper, they were trying to distribute what they could of scripture. As a result, their followers were found as far afield as the Danube River in Austria, in northern Germany, in Bohemia, where their teachings and their example helped to inspire the great Bohemian professor and reformer Jan Hus. Some of the most effective Waldensian evangelists were salesmen, merchants, who travelled from town to town selling fabrics, clothing, jewellery, artefacts, and alluding to more precious goods in their possession to jewels of inestimable value, even the pearl of great price, Jesus Christ himself. In German, the Waldensians were called apostles. The Polish described them as men who tell the truth. The Waldensians became known as those who proclaimed the Bible as the only rule for faith and conduct. They rejected the papacy. They rejected purgatory. They rejected indulgences, the mass, other forms of superstition, all as unbiblical. They rejected religious formalism in favor of biblical simplicity. They promoted Christ-centered worship, Bible reading, faithful prayer, scriptural preaching as the responsibility for all believers. The Council of Valencia in 1229 forbid men who were not priests to read the Bible. You can't read the Bible not in Latin, not in the vernacular, not in any languages. Only the clergy had the right to read the Bible, and that in Latin alone. But the laity, totally forbidden. A savage wave of persecution was unleashed against the Waldensians, and the Inquisition resorted to a murderous campaign which tortured and slaughtered thousands of these faithful Bible believers. Question: when was the Bible taken off the Index of Forbidden Books by the Catholic Church? It was placed in the Index of Forbidden Books in 1229 at the Council of Valencia. When was it taken off the Index of Forbidden Books? 1962. Second Vatican Council. Now, I was born in 1960, so that means in my lifetime, the Catholic Church started to allow the people to actually read the Bible. They basically had to run up the white flag because the Gideons and the Protestants had spread the Bible throughout the world, even found in hotel rooms. It was no longer feasible for the Catholic Church to say you couldn't read the Bible, so they just had to give up. It just showed that we had won, at least that point. But imagine, for over 700 years, the Bible was a forbidden book by the Catholic Church.
Is this where the new apostolic church in the old dispensation got the clue of forbidding people to read their own Bible if we're not priests? The new apostolic church.
I guess so. They must have. That's exactly Catholic practice. The idea is, if you read it, it's dangerous. The only people who can interpret the Bible is the church. Catholic church still says only the church, meaning the Catholic leaders, can interpret the Bible. That reject private interpretation of the scripture. Dangerous. Very dangerous. Because power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that's true for religious power as well.
Now, in the New Apostolic Church, you are permitted to read the Bible. You are permitted to read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Always been like that.
Has it? The new?
Yeah.
And the old?
Likewise for the old Apostolic Church.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Early in the Reformation, the French reformer William Farel travelled across the Alps and recruited the Waldensians into the mainstream of the Reformation. The persecution of the Waldensians intensified in the 17th century, and in 1655, Oliver Cromwell, Lord Protector of England, declared a solemn fast on behalf of the suffering Waldensian believers. The Protector threatened to send the English Navy into the Mediterranean to strike a blow on behalf of the Protestant cause, and he threatened military intervention unless the persecution ceased. Oliver Cromwell's secretary, John Milton, who wrote Paradise Lost, Paradise Regained, one of the greatest English poets, he wrote a famous sonnet on the massacres at Piedmont, and Cromwell himself headed a campaign to raise support for the Waldensians with a personal gift of £2,000, urged the cause so wholeheartedly that over £500,000, which would be in the hundreds of millions of rands in today's value, was donated for the suffering Waldensians. Cromwell's vigorous intercession and threat of mobilizing English naval and military forces brought the persecution of the Waldensians to a close. One of the finest books on Oliver Cromwell was written by a Waldensian called The Protector. The Waldensians survive to this day, the oldest evangelical church with a heritage of over 800 years of faithful proclamation of the gospel and firm resistance against tyranny. The Lord said, "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life." And certainly these believers, 800 years of Protestant heritage, the oldest Protestant church in the world, the Waldensians have overcome.